you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. We are nearing the conclusion of this letter. We're in Galatians chapter 6. And our focus will be this morning in the first 10 verses. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. This is God's word. Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each person examine his own work, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. For each person will have to carry his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all his good things with the teacher. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. May God bless this reading from his holy and inspired word. Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person. Is it possible for a Christian to be overtaken by a sin? Absolutely. One of the ways that people slip into various kinds of destructive patterns is thinking, can't happen to me. Let him who stands take heed lest he fall. That is the warning of Scripture. And if you think you're immune because you're mature, okay, couldn't happen to me, you're mistaken. In fact, those who are spiritual and who seek to restore such a one need to be careful lest they too are tempted. You see somebody else doing it, you say, well, that's stupid. Why are they doing that? Don't just stand back and think that they're bad off. You're supposed to go and try and help them, and you may discover that when you get close to the situation, you start thinking, well, I wonder what that's like. Let me tell you, the enemy would like nothing more than to try and cause you to fall into the same thing that you were trying to help someone else out of. And sin is like a pit. So if someone is down in the pit, you need to help them out. But be careful that you don't fall in. That's the warning here. And if you don't think that warning applies to you, you're probably in the pit. All right? Look up. Cry out to the Lord. And don't be afraid to cry for your brothers and sisters to give you a hand. Because the fact of the matter is, Christians can be overtaken in a wrongdoing. The word there speaks of bondage, enslavement. It speaks of something that you cannot get out of on your own. We think, well, I can handle this. I can do this. There's no problem. I can deal with it. I'm still in control. You're not in control. And if you think that you can just manage everything that comes along, you're in denial. So let me just tell you something. The fact that you're a Christian doesn't mean you can't be overtaken by sin. Or we wouldn't have this verse. But the fact that you've been overtaken by sin also doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. You understand? It does mean you need help. And we're supposed to help one another. But we need to do it in a way that is sensitive to our own capacity for falling into temptation ourselves. Look at the verse again. Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, and it doesn't have to be substance abuse, there's a lot of other wrongdoing. Some Christians, I know this is going to be hard for you to believe, but this is true. Some Christians actually have a problem with gossip. You've probably never encountered that. But there are some people who are Christians who engage in something that God considers abominable, called gossip. God condemns it, but there are some people who have a real problem with it. There are some people, again, you've probably never encountered this, but there are some people who actually have a problem with greed, which is idolatry. That's what the Bible says. And if you've got a problem with greed, you've got a problem, because that's something God says is abominable. Again, it is idolatry. It is putting something else in the place of God as if this can satisfy, and it can't. No addiction will ever satisfy you. That's why it's an addiction. It wouldn't be an addiction if you could get some and then it was like, oh, that was nice. Okay, I'm done. But whatever you're addicted to, whether it is heroin or money, whatever you're addicted to, no matter how much you get, you just want more. You just want more. So, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit. With a gentle spirit. Not a condemning spirit. Restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. Beloved people, it is not wrong to see yourself in the role of one who is spiritual. Again, look at the text. That's what it says. You who are spiritual should do this. There should be people within the congregation who say, okay, well, that would be me. Why? Well, for one thing, the word Christian means that we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. So when he saves us, his Holy Spirit comes to live inside us, and because his Holy Spirit is living in us, that makes us at least have the capacity to be spiritual people. All right? When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, stop behaving as if you were mere men. You know, well, I'm only human. Well, then get saved. If you're a Christian, God himself has taken up residence in you. And you need to surrender yourself to him and let him do his work through you. Amen? Amen. So you who are spiritual should help the one who's been overtaken by sin. Verse 2, carry one another's burdens. Jump down to verse 5, for each person will have to carry his own load. All right, well now, Pastor, I'm sorry, but this is troublesome to me because it looks like that's some kind of contradiction. No, it's not a contradiction. It's clarification in order to give us balance. All right? As we look at this paragraph together, hopefully we'll see what those two phrases used right together mean. The first is, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. which is that we're to love one another. Okay? Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Don't just look out for your own interests, but instead be concerned about others. He says this right on the heels of recognizing that you may see someone who's overtaken with a problem. And when you do, you shouldn't say, well, too bad for you, I'm pressing on. Okay? The Lord would have us go and minister to those who are in trouble. But there are some other pits you can fall into. One is, you might start to think that you're a superior individual. Okay? He says, if anybody thinks he's something when he's nothing, he is badly mistaken. He deceives himself. Let each person examine his own work, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. This from a man who said, everything that was to my credit, I now consider as dung compared to knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. He says, my only boast is in Christ. Okay? So Paul is not suggesting here that you and I are supposed to walk around as arrogant people saying, yes, I'm one of the spiritual ones. What he's saying is a lot of us try to feel better about ourselves by comparing ourselves to other people. And if you are trying to draw your opinion of yourself based on how you stack up compared to other people you know, you will always be able to find people who don't look as good as you. Okay? You can always find folks. But guess what? That's not the standard. Who are we supposed to be like? Jesus. He's perfect. Therefore, all of us fall short. So Paul is telling us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not to be busy comparing ourselves to others for the purpose of making ourselves feel good about ourselves. He says, you're just deceiving yourself when you do that. Now, if you look and you see somebody else who's got a problem, you ought to want to help them. Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay? Love one another. Don't be comparing yourself, trying to feel good about yourself. If you want to know how you're doing, take a look at yourself. And he says, and then you can feel proud. If you read the rest of what Paul says, it would not exactly be an exhortation to feel proud of yourself. Amen? So, then he goes on. And he says, for each person will have to carry his own load. Well, I thought he said we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. All right. The first verse tells us what our attitude should be toward others in terms of wanting to help them. The second verse tells us not to sit around saying, excuse me, I do want to make it up to the summit, but... The Bible says that we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. I think it's time for you to carry mine. Have you ever known anybody like that? Well, I've known a bunch of them. There's an assumption that whatever you've got, I'm entitled to. Okay? Because I like it. I want it. We have a culture of dependency and entitlement that is hideously ill. I would just suggest to you that if we get what we're entitled to in terms of our own performance, all of us would go to hell. And so what I want is mercy and grace. Don't think that it's somebody else's job to carry your load. Don't read verse 2, and instead of realizing that's an exhortation to help others, translate it into, I'm entitled to being carried by others. That's not what that means. And that's why he comes back and clarifies. This is not an excuse to be lazy. It is a reason to be kind.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, verse 6. Let the one who is taught the word share all his good things with the teacher. Oh, well, let me read that again. What's he saying? He's saying if you receive the benefit of spiritual nurture, you should show appreciation. The worst honorarium I ever got was in Atlanta years ago, so it's no one you know. It's a young couple, and I don't know who was paying for the wedding. The dad drove a Mercedes, okay? And they went through the three premarital counseling classes, at least three. Always do at least three. They went through the classes, and I did the wedding. I didn't mess up on the names or the vows or anything like that. And the honorarium they gave me was a partially used book of coupons for Baskin-Robbins. Yeah, it was a coupon. It wasn't a gift certificate. It wasn't even free ice cream. I was going to get a discount. That's just horrible. Okay? So, because there are some people like that within the institutional church, I'm not going to say within the body of Christ, because I don't expect to see those people in heaven unless there's some serious repentance. Let me tell you this, I will. It is absolutely abhorrent to God that the waiters and waitresses, the servers as we now call them, at Cracker Barrel and the other restaurants in Sevier County and practically everywhere else dread working Sundays because of the church crowd. They dread it because the church crowd shows up, is extremely demanding, and then leaves gospel tracts or pitiful tips. You talk about encouraging people not to believe in Jesus. Give them a gospel tract instead of a tip. Now, if you want to tip 25 or 30% and leave a tract with it, that's fine. I don't have to tip that much in order to leave a tract, do I? No, 20 is okay. But don't you cheat somebody and think, well, I'm giving them the greatest gift of all. I'm giving them the message of eternal life. You need to repent and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because Jesus would never, never, never approve of your mistreating those who are serving you. It is not okay. So, don't be deceived. Verse 7, God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. God is not mocked. What are you sowing? What are you sowing? Are you investing your time, your energy, your resources in the things of God? Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, he will also reap. And you are continually either sowing to the flesh or sowing to the Spirit. And I'm telling you, I've planted both kinds. I've invested in the wrong stuff and I've invested in the right stuff. And I'm always so grateful when I do the right thing, but I'll tell you this, it takes a while to pay off. If you do the right thing, eventually you will reap a reward. Look at what he says here, verse 9. For we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Eventually, there will be a reward. But some people, having planted well, say, well, nothing's happening. I'm going to give up. There's no point in this. Nothing good is coming of it. There's no reason for me to keep on. And so they quit. Let me tell you something. You got to keep doing the right thing and eventually it'll pay off. Amen?
Amen?
See, the flip side of that is this. Some people do the wrong thing and next day nothing happens. It's just like, well, I guess it doesn't matter. I can do that again. They do it again, nothing happens. And they keep doing the wrong thing. And 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 you know what? At the proper time, there's going to be a harvest. Don't think that just because you haven't gotten your crop in, it's not coming. So, therefore, verse 10, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. It's not my favorite translation of that verse, but it'll work. Here's what it says. Seek to do good to all people, but especially to your brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't say, well, I'm not going to be nice to that person because they're not a Christian. Oh, what a witness. Okay? You need to try and be nice to everybody, even jerks. I've been in situations before where I felt led of the Lord to say, I'm sorry, you seem to be having a bad day. Is there anything I can do to help? And I really didn't want to help. I was talking to a fellow at Kroger. He was having a tough time. He wasn't being rude to me. He just said something that made it clear he was not having a great day. And so I said, is there anything that I can do for you, or could I pray with you about something? And man, it was like the dam burst. He said, my wife just died. And he said, I missed 6 weeks of work and got behind on my bills. And I'm back at work now because I've got to pay the rent. But he said, I'm still just feeling like I don't have a reason to live because my wife is gone. And I said, well, I'd like to pray with you. And he said, well, I'm not supposed to talk about my problems to the customers. And I said, well, I asked, so let me pray with you. So I prayed with him, and he was extremely appreciative. But you and I don't know what people may be going through. And we need to be prepared to be kind to everybody. Somebody cuts in front of you, they may be in a hurry. Somebody is rude to you, that's unfortunate. Maybe they don't know Jesus. Pray for their salvation. Seek to be kind to everyone, and especially to your brothers and sisters in Christ. If they're your brothers or sisters in Christ, you ought to be especially kind, because they're family. We're going to be together forever. And not because we deserve it. So I don't think that person deserves to go to heaven. Well, neither do you. Neither do I. But hallelujah, Jesus came to save.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood, www.pastorwood.org.